Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The text for the sermon is the epistle lesson, especially verse 15. But before that, let's see. Before that, there are a couple phrases. Verse 1, his rest. Verse 3, his rest. Verse 5, my rest. Verse 10, God's rest. For whoever has entered God's rest has also rested from his works as God did from his. What is this all about? God's rest. And, oh, you could go back to Genesis chapter 1, chapter 2. 7 days or 6 days of creation, and on the seventh day God rested. You could start there. Or you could say, well, we're talking about the Sabbath, so what does that say in our catechism? Third commandment? Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy? Something kids have to memorize, right? Right. What does this mean? We should fear and love God so that we do not despise preaching and his word, but hold it sacred and gladly hear and learn it. Oh. Okay. So, part of the Sabbath is, well, part of the Sabbath is taking hold of God's word. Part of the Sabbath is fighting against the old sinful nature. Part of the Sabbath is wrestling with the impulses to turn away from, wait a minute, that doesn't sound like rest. That sounds like work and fighting against and wrestling with. That doesn't sound like rest. So what is this Sabbath day if it turns into you go to church? Oh, by the way, the world caught on to that. They figured that out. And they're saying of Christians, you silly Christians, you talk about rest, and what do you do on Sunday morning? We're here in bed enjoying mattress and pillow and nice and warm and groggy, and you make yourself get up and go to church. Did you miss that part that you were talking about rest? So they figured that out. The part that they didn't figure out is actually why we come to church is to find rest for our souls. Because if our religion was trying to be good enough or trying to achieve a spirituality or trying to wrestle with and get God to be our loving Heavenly Father, that wouldn't be rest. We come to church not for what we can do or not for what we are supposed to do. We come to church for what God has done. For the "it is finished" spoken by Jesus. For the "come to me all you who are weary and burdened and I will give you rest." And Christians have learned that out there in the world, the whole week is full of one mess after another, one kind of mess after another kind. And there's turmoil and confusion and labor and sweat and problems, and we get blamed. And sometimes we deserve it. And to have a one place where you can come back and find rest for your soul, that's important. So jumping ahead in the outline, I used to get these letters back from a missionary, Doris Engstrom. She was from Iowa, went to Nigeria, and started writing back interesting cultural things that she found there. One of them was, she wrote back and said, well, you know, people in Africa carry great burdens on their heads. And it's not that hard to carry a large weight on your head. The problem, the tricky bit, is getting it up there and getting it back down without breaking your neck. So, if you have to carry a load from one village to another, you go along the trail. They built these places along the side of the trail. They're called the resting place. And what it is they've built a wood frame where you have bars across the top, not quite parallel, angling in gradually. And when you want to go and rest, you turn aside and you walk in through that framework till you get to where the bars will hold the burden you have, and then you duck down out from under your load. You rest for a while, and when you're ready to go on, you duck down and take it back on yourself and proceed on your way. And they say, the Christians in that area, oh, they make a great deal of, this is a great illustration. Not only is this a wood structure, the cross, but for us Christians, where do we bring our burdens to get rid of them? To the cross. And so there is some similarity, but here's the difference. Once we as Christians bring our burdens by the cross and lay them down there, we don't go back and pick them up. Or at least we shouldn't. And if we act like we are, we're acting pretty foolishly. Because once they are there, they don't belong to us anymore. Somebody else took them. Somebody else claims ownership of them. Somebody else will take care of them and dispose of them in the way that he sees fit. What's his name? Jesus. So, this is our resting place, where we come and we leave the burdens. They're gone. They're not yours anymore. You do not have claim. You do not have ownership of them. Somebody else claims them as his own. We could get through so many problems in life if we understood that part and clearly had that in mind day after day. The same way, confirmation class, we get to the Lord's Prayer, and in one of our classes, we're right at that point right now. Sixth petition of the Lord's Prayer, lead us not into temptation. Now, God tempts no one. We pray in this petition that he would guard and keep us so that the devil, the world, and our sinful nature may not mislead or seduce us into false belief, despair, and other great sin and shame. There's a problem coming up here. And although we are assailed by these things, that we may finally overcome them and something the victory. What's that word in there? Overcome them and something the victory. And I grew up with the translation being overcome them and win the victory. Yeah. And as I started teaching confirmation, something about that, well, I wanted to go back and look at it. So I looked back at Luther's German original, and win the victory was not what he said. It was instead keep the victory. Ah! And I say to myself, yes, because do I win the victory? No, somebody else did. Did I have to wrestle? Did I have to bleed? Did I have to die? Did I have to do all of those things? Did I bear the cross? Was I nailed to it? No, 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 and no. And somebody else did that. He won the victory. So all it is mine to do is to keep that victory. How I do that? Just a moment. He wins the victory. So if I'm going to act like I'm going to win the victory, oh, again, that's being a little bit foolish. Just keep that victory. How do I keep it? Again and again and again, you know, as many times as you can imagine, we go back to saying, it's by the Word of God. Yeah. So I can say it this way. My faith does not win salvation. My faith does not make me right with God. My faith does not do all of those things. My faith does not gain heaven. My faith is not strong enough to endure the problems and temptations of this life. No, my faith was never designed to be my strength, was it? And instead, you know, this we did talk about in confirmation. What is the synonym for faith? The verb, and it begins with a B. Ah, there we are. It's believe, okay? Faith does not do the doing. What faith does is it says, I know somebody else who did the doing. I know somebody else. He did it all. Why are you looking at me to do the doing? He did it, right? Yeah, I'm not strong. He's strong. So, okay, I'm simply going to believe his words, and he's given me a whole bunch of words of promise, of assurance. And his words, those words are sure and certain, aren't they? Let's illustrate it. Earlier in the service, you heard that your sins were forgiven. Are your sins forgiven? Yeah. What happens if you don't believe that they're forgiven? Are they still forgiven? Yeah. Yeah. Otherwise, God is a liar. But he says the sins are forgiven. Oh, you can ignore him. You can walk away from him. You can get as far away from God as you can. You can, in fact, end up in an eternity without God. But were those sins forgiven? Yes. All of them. Doesn't matter how strong my faith is. What matters is what Jesus did. Yesterday, I had a conversation with a cousin. It was at an aunt's memorial service. As we talked, she told me a little bit about her wanderings and how, for some years, she was looking for a place where she spiritually could rest. And she'd found it now in that church where we were at. And she was so happy because she found a place to be at home and rest and know God's goodness and hear about Jesus Christ and forgiveness of sins and rest her soul. How sweet that is, right? When we started out, we said, but, you know, God's rest? What is this? And I love to ask questions like this. We look at the Sabbath from our viewpoint. What's the Sabbath look like from God's viewpoint? Back in Genesis, God comes walking in the garden in the cool of the day to spend time with Adam and Eve, and they've walked out on him, so the Sabbath is broken. God's rest. And so God spends the whole rest of the Bible searching for, finding, winning, bringing his people together into his kingdom, gathering us around Jesus Christ so that God's rest can be shared with us. I'm going to read you what God's Sabbath looks like. Revelation 21. I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, "Behold, the dwelling place of God is with man. He will dwell with them, and they will be his people, and God himself will be with them as their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain any more, for the former things have passed away." God's rest. God's rest is to be with us, to enjoy that time and that relationship with us, and have that relationship be one that lasts through all eternity. And as you read those words in Revelation 21, you get the idea that God is absolutely thrilled that now it's here. Now the dwelling of God is with man. Now man is with God. Now we are his and he is ours. And now it's time to rest and relax. But, last point, how did we get there? How do we get there? Grace and peace to you. The text for the sermon is the epistle lesson, especially verse 15. Here we go. "For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who in every respect has been tempted as we are, yet without sin." Because he made himself one of us, endured all things, shares all things, calls us his own. Let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace. It's our Sabbath rest, that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Such a Savior. And how sweet it is. In Jesus' name, amen.